So I'm going to focus specifically on depression and anxiety this morning. And this is something, last week I was really researching and learning how to present that. It was something new and fresh. This week, it's a lot more personal. I've had a personal struggle with depression and anxiety for many years. Some of that surfaced specifically as a teenager. And then some of that was heightened a number of years ago when I began to go through and resolve some family of origin issues. So part of that was just the sensation of not being able to surface myself. I have this picture in my mind of somebody who's drowning, and you just can't get to the surface no matter how hard you kick and you try. And it's simply overwhelming. And I remember forcing myself to do the day-to-day stuff, and it was so incredibly difficult. And certainly, that struggle is not over, but God has done a mighty work and brought me to where I am, and I can identify quickly now when some of those triggers are happening and take some action. So I hope today that as we go through this, you might think, wow, what a heavy topic for Mother's Day, but I want you to leave encouraged today, encouraged that there is hope, encourage that there is a way through, and encourage that God is our rescuer and he will reach down and pull us out of those waters. So, and medication or not, I did use medication for a little while and I found the side effects actually exacerbated the anxiety piece and was praying and really sensing that God was saying, you know, if you walk through these difficult things, if you resolve some of these difficult things from your past, you're going to make it through this without the medication. So I chose to come off of that for that time. Not because it was bad. Again, it was just the side effects for me were not positive. So I want to encourage you today. There are many avenues to get help, and God can use any of those avenues. But whether or not you choose the medical route or a combination of both, certain principles still apply when we look at depression, anxiety, and how to overcome that. And my prayer for you today would be that you would have victory, that you wouldn't simply just survive it and I'll make it through till the next round hits, you know, but there would just be that sense of victory and empowerment, like I can do something about this. And I want to read to you today from 1 Kings 19, 1-2, because so often we think this is a new world problem, that this is new. And we talked last week about how many of the struggles we have in the present day and age have been present all along through Scripture, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So 1 Kings 19, 1-2 says this. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel, not a nice lady, sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. So we have Elijah facing a death threat here from somebody who was in power. So this was a very legitimate threat. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. So we see this idea of depression and anxiety already present in the scriptures, and we're going to continue on with that story a little bit later. But just a quick summary, because I think many of us are familiar with depression and anxiety and what that is. But again, I said depression is just like that feeling of drowning or sinking and not able to surface yourself. And anxiety often goes hand in hand with that. And to me, anxiety is like a suffocating weight. It's this thing that you just can't get out from under. And it just creates this breathlessness. Sorry? Oh, okay. No, that's okay. I was like, oh, did you have a good definition for me? Because I'll take it. Now, we have other battles of the mind, such as obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress syndrome. All of those things can play into these. Bipolar, but again, we're going to focus specifically, and I think some of the principles we're looking at will apply. So how does a person get these things? Do they just sort of happen? Well, there's many theories out there. There's the family of origin kind of stuff, or post-traumatic stress syndrome if you came from an abusive background, or you were in the military and saw things you shouldn't have seen. Even things like a car accident or something can trigger some of those things. I think some of it can be personality. So if you've ever done Myers-Briggs, I know I'm the INTJ, which means I think and I'm introspective and introverted. So it means I brood a lot. A Lego Movie has this fantastic little clip of brooding and how that works, and it just makes me laugh. That's not an endorsement for the Lego Movie 2, but it was pretty funny. And I thought, oh, I can relate to that. So sometimes it's a little bit personality-driven. That can play a factor in that. I like what PremierChristianity.com, has a blog, and it gives us this definition from a biblical perspective. It could be disconnection from meaningful work can trigger that. So if you have nothing to do all day and, you know, you're just hanging out and you're starting to feel low and despondent, that can trigger some of that. Disconnection from other people, disconnection from meaningful values, disconnection because of trauma, disconnection from status and respect, disconnection from nature. And I know that might sound a little bit, you know, but truly, I mean, disconnection from God's creation, disconnection from a secure future. But one of the big things is that broken patterns lead to more brokenness. So all it takes is that initial episode sometimes of feeling low and depressed, and then we don't sleep well, you don't eat well, you don't connect well, you don't function well, and then it exacerbates the problem and becomes this repetitive cycle that can be very difficult to get out of. Now, these are some of the physiological reasons that we can say for depression, but I do think there's a spiritual component as well. And we can't ignore Satan's role in the area of depression and anxiety. John 8:44 says Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he, Satan, is a liar and the father of lies. So our mind is one of the primary places of attack for Satan. And maybe you have experienced this where you, that voice in your head that says you're not any good, you're worthless, you have nothing to contribute. That kind of a thing that ruminates, well, that's Satan just having some fun with you there, right? He is the father of lies. So he is consistently and always going to not tell you the truth. He is going to tell you lies. I was reading online, there's a thing now that's actually called treatment-resistant depression. And I found that a little intriguing because that is, in our society, there's only so many avenues of treatment before you hit the end. And that spiritual component is missing. And I think that's at the point where it's like, well, this depression is resistant to treatment. It's like, there's another piece of the puzzle. We have a God who can overcome that. But it's a very difficult thing when our world doesn't believe that to be true. So the enemy has a role in all of this. So what is the big deal? What's the big deal about having these things going on in our lives? Well, first of all, depression and anxiety, because they're battles of the mind, they attack body, soul, and spirit. They attack us physically, in our soul, which is our mind and our emotions, and in our spirit, so our belief of who God is. When you're in that low place and you can't think clearly and the enemy is speaking his lies to you, you often will begin to believe some of those things, right? We'll believe things like that, you know, we're not good, we're less favored by God, we're less worthy of his love because we are going through this. And people who struggle with those things, and I believe this at one point too, believed I was fatally flawed because I had this wonderful life, 4 healthy boys, a great job I loved, lived in a good house, good city, really, sorry, good city, believe it or not, and yet couldn't get my act together. Right? So there was this feeling of, I am flawed forever. I cannot overcome this. What is wrong with me? What is going on? And so it's this feeling of rejected by God. And then that impacts the mind and the emotions. it impacts us physically and what we are capable of doing in those moments. Psalm 34, actually, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. So to come out from under the weight, all of those areas actually have to be treated in the area of depression and anxiety, our body, our soul, and our spirit. And I think a huge component of that is what we feed our spirit. So I don't know how it looks for some of you who may struggle, but if I'm, you know, having one of those times where I'm starting to feel myself slipping a little bit into that melancholy, depressed kind of state, I get out my phone, I put on my playlist of equally depressing music, right? You know, and it's like, okay, so really not helping. You know, so often in those moments when we're trying to emerge from this state, we're actually feeding ourselves things that are only making it worse. And so one of the things we can do is to feed our spirit well. We can meditate on scripture and confess them out loud. So I still have my playlist of quiet contemplative songs, but they're very much glorifying the Lord and saying, "There is you have a rescuer, your God is your strong tower, your fortress." And those are the things that now ruminate in my spirit. Psalm 34, 7 to 18 says this, 17 to 18, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." You say this to yourself over and over in a time of depression and anxiety, and you know what? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing from the word of the Lord. You're saying that out loud. Your spirit is hearing it. Guess what happens? Those things begin to shift internally. Now, I'm not saying it just will completely go away in that 5 minutes that you've quoted that scripture, but it begins to bring that internal shift, and it begins to bring hope and empowerment. The other thing is we don't want to make that our identity. So often we wear that. We wear that thing of suffering with depression and anxiety because we don't know the way out. And we don't know how to relate to others apart from that. So when people say, "How are you doing?" It's like, well, you know, we're not sure if we should say good, because maybe if I say good, they won't know I'm actually still struggling to overcome this in some areas. And so it's okay to not wear that as our identity and begin to find a new language to communicate what's going on internally. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But again, there is a deep spiritual component to the battle. And we talked a couple of months ago about having a battle plan, how God in the Bible consistently gave Israel a battle plan to overcome the enemy. And so when it comes to this thing of depression and anxiety, we actually need to have a battle plan in advance of finding ourselves in a very difficult place. So I'm going to ask Aaron to come up. And should we sit you up here somewhere where we can see? Okay, so this is just a little example of what the enemy does and what often is our response in a depressed state. So if you have celiac, don't come up here after, okay? So I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I throw like a girl. Harder is not going to hit the mark. All right. Thank you. Now, this here, Aaron was demonstrating up for us a response that often happens. A response that often happens in our struggle with depression and anxiety. We simply sit there and we get pummeled by whatever the enemy is throwing at us. And you can see Satan left his mark on him, didn't he? Right? So this is often our response. And I want to suggest to us today that we have a different response, which, as you can see where this is going. You better be alert, because... Missed. Oh, okay. So, a little bit more successful that time. Thank you, Aaron.
I signed up for this.
Yeah. I had to promise some ice cream. So here's the thing. Joyce Meyer says we can choose our own thoughts. We don't have to actually think whatever drops into our mind. What? This was like, I was reading this going, yeah, we don't. How crazy is that? We can be violent when it comes to avoiding the enemy's schemes. We do not need to be passive and just take whatever he throws at us. We can stand up and say, no, I'm going to fight that. That is not true. And I'm going to find the truth that combats that lie. Now, you can hope that the enemy is going to leave us all alone, but he's not. He's not. He is relentless. He will keep throwing those things at you all day long. He's got a pretty good arm, better than mine. So you may not have control over some of the circumstances and things that surround you, but you do have the power and the authority. So I want to go back to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 and starting in verse 5. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head was some baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Now, the story continues on where we have that little encounter with the Lord, well, big encounter with the Lord that Elijah has where, you know, it's God's not in the mighty wind and God's not in the thunder and the lightning, but he's in that still small voice. And following that time, God asks him the same question again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives the same response. And then following that, what's really interesting is God then gives a bunch of marching orders and said, okay, here, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. So in this, we see God looking at Elijah, who is depressed and suffering with anxiety in this moment. And God does not say, buddy, get your act together. Why can't you pick it up? Why can't you move on? He doesn't say that. Instead, he attends to Elijah's physical needs. He gives him food. He gives him rest. And next, God attends to his spiritual needs by speaking with Elijah. There is a personal encounter that happens with God. And I love this. He also attends to his soul, to his mind and emotions by allowing Elijah to unburden what's going on inside of him. Elijah, why are you here? And then lastly, he gives Elijah meaningful work to do. So he says, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to get moving again. You've been here long enough. You've eaten, you've slept, you've had an encounter with me. Here's the list of things that I need you to do next. So he was no longer looking at himself, but he was given a task to focus on. So what are the options? Truth. Here's some truth. There is always a way through. There is always a way through. Second, God is our rescuer. Psalm 18:16 says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. People do care and people do want to help. But here's the thing I've learned, and this can be a difficult one. People cannot read your mind or your body language. You have to communicate. You have to say, I'm having a bad day. I am struggling here. Would you pray with me? You must let somebody know, and you must find the words and find the language. At one of the high points in my own struggle, I had somebody who all I had to do was email them or message them and say, I'm having a bad day. And they would simply pray with me, and it was enough to know that someone else knew. It was enough to know that, okay, someone out there knows the struggle I'm having right now and are covering me in prayer. I can make it through this bad day. Because bad days don't actually last forever. Sometimes they can last quite a while, but not forever. What can we as a church do to help? Church, we can support people, but we can't save them. So this is Pastor Andrew Stoiklin, I'm probably not saying that right. And recently he recounted the same Old Testament story of the prophet Elijah, whose despair led him to pray for death. And he shared that Elijah was filled with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. Now, Pastor Andrew had just returned to the pulpit after a four-month leave of absence in which he battled panic attacks and severe depression. And he said, there is hope and there is help available. And 12 days later, he took his own life. So we know in that time, there were people surrounding him who knew of his struggle, who knew of his battle. And yet, this was the choice he still made. We can support, we cannot necessarily save them. That is between them and the Lord. We can come behind, we can pray, we can uphold them. And that can be a very, very difficult thing. The other thing we want to do is we want to validate and not minimize. When someone comes to us and shares, hey, I'm struggling, this is a low moment, it can be easy for us to go, oh, I know all about those. I had a rotten week last week. You know, there's no good coffee at work or whatever. We don't want to minimize. We simply want to listen. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 talks about comforting those who are in any trouble with the comforter that God himself comforts us with. Romans 12, 15 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. We had this little moment at convention one night where we were sitting beside someone and I said, Ted, I think we just need to pray with him. I don't know. And as we prayed with him, he began to weep and shared some of the difficulties that were going on in his struggle. And we began to weep too. We couldn't help it. But there was this sense of, we're here with you. We're going to weep with you. Even if we can't fix the problem, we can't solve it for you. It's important that we respect boundaries and where a person is at. So it's not our job to say, here's where you should be. We want to give gentle encouragement. We want to celebrate the victories. Amen. We don't want to, somebody reminded me of this when we had our building relationship seminar with Tom and Charlene Brooks. We don't want to should on people. You should be here. You should be doing this. You should be further along in your journey. And we don't want to assume based on what we see on the outside. So some people have what's termed high-functioning depression, where they can show up for work, they can be on their game, they can show up in interactions with others, and yet when they're not present, they're not having a good day. So be a safe person. Listen, comfort, pray. Don't try to fix it. Create a place of safety. So if somebody's suffering with anxiety, sometimes they actually just need to get away and be okay with that. Because, you know, sometimes we just want to, oh, just let me fix it all for you. And it's okay to say, you know what, I'm just right here in the next room if you need me. I'm just going to be here and sit here until you're okay. And it gives them that space and still gives a bit of comfort. And like we said last week, we don't want to use platitudes or cliches. It'll all be better tomorrow. It's no big deal. We want to be sincere in the way we respond to people. And a big major thing, if you get tapped, if somebody says, I'm struggling, I need you to pray with me, do not drop that ball. You must show up. And no matter how inadequate you might feel to deal with it, you must show up. You must follow through. You must pray with that person. So important, because sometimes we go, I don't know what to do there, and we back away. So there's a few things as we close I'd like to do this morning. Because like I said, I believe God wants to bring even greater freedom. And I believe that there's some areas of ministry that can happen that today perhaps you're carrying one of these heavy weights and you can leave just a little bit more free and encouraged and comforted this morning. So the first one is we want to pray for those, or I want to pray for you this morning. There were three things God laid on my heart. For those who've seen someone succumb to depression and anxiety. For those of you who have been exposed to someone who has taken their own life. And perhaps you carry that weight of not being able to save them, or perhaps not knowing and wishing you knew, and saying, what could I have done differently? The young lady on the screen is somebody who went through our preteen ministry in Surrey, BC. And she was with us till she was about the age of 13. And then 2 years later, she took her life. That was 3 years ago in February. I don't forget it, because every February I ask myself the question, was there something more we could have done? Was there something we missed? Now, that's a good question to ask, certainly. But it's not a weight we were intended to carry in terms of a burden or condemnation. So 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we sang that this morning, which was fantastic. We were at practice Thursday night, and Donnie pulled out that song. Like, how did you know? Well, the Holy Spirit knew. But this morning, I'm going to invite you, if you've carried that weight where you said, you know, I've walked along beside somebody, and that's the decision they made, can I ask you to be really super bold and just slip up your hand? We would love to agree with you in prayer as a church this morning. I know, super bold thing to do. Is there anyone like that? Anyone we can pray for? And if not, that's okay. And if you need to do it later, that's okay too. If this is too intimidating, that's okay. All right. So we're going to pray anyway, just in case. All right. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So Lord, we bring before you today those here in this room who have maybe lost a loved one or somebody they cared about to depression and anxiety, Lord, and they ask themselves later, why didn't I see it? Why didn't I miss the cues? And have carried this heavy burden and this heavy weight. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, would you lift that now? Lord, it says in your word, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, we pray that you would take that off, that would no longer exist, Lord, that you would show them a glimpse of the bigger picture and what was going on behind the scenes and how you were there even in that, Lord God. So I pray in the name of Jesus you would bring healing today for that specific thing in your name. You can open your eyes again with me if you like. The second thing is Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And today I want to pray for those who are walking somebody through depression and anxiety. And I got a very specific word this week. This doesn't really happen, but just this whisper of something very specific from the Lord who said, tell them their God is with them and they are doing enough. So if that's you this morning, if you are walking somebody through those things, God would want to say to you today, I am with you and you are doing enough. But we want to pray with you and we want to support you. And I'm thinking this morning, just because the sensitivity at the topic, the raising hand thing is a little bit intimidating, so we're going to pray. But if you sense you're next to somebody and you know that that person is in that situation, go ahead and just put your hand on them and just lift them up to the Lord as we pray. So Lord, we come to you and we pray for those who are walking alongside somebody in the midst of this struggle. God, it can be so overwhelming because there's just so many things we have no control over as to how they're processing and what's going on internally for them, and we can feel so helpless. God, I pray that you would lift that burden in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the truth that you've spoken, that you are with them and they are doing enough, would penetrate to the core of their spirits, Lord God, that they would know that they would walk in that peace and that comfort. And God, I pray that you would be their source and their strong tower, Lord, that when they encounter something that's more heightened and they're not sure what to do, Lord, that they would just hear the whisper of your voice saying, say this, do this. And God, that they would just know that you are nearby and guiding them and directing them in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, release the weight of needing to fix it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The third thing is this. We want to minister to those who are struggling. Amen? So can I say this? You are not fatally flawed. There is hope. You can get through. And we need to start with our spirit. We need to let God begin to just do his healing work internally. Psalm 30:11-12 says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Psalm 34:4-5 says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. And I love this, no shadow of shame will darken their faces. And so this morning, if you're struggling, we want to pray with you. The way we're going to do this morning is, I talked about, if you're tapped, you got to show up. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're in the midst of a struggle yourself where you need the Lord to intervene and you feel comfortable with the person beside you, I'm just going to invite you to just tap them on the knee, on the shoulder, however, and let them join you in support and prayer. But I'm going to just pray for all of us collectively together. So Lord, we come to you and this is a very real struggle. And God, you are a compassionate God. It says that your love and your mercy endures forever. God, that you look on us and you sing over us with joy. And God, it doesn't say you sing over us with joy if we've got our act together and if everything aligns exactly perfectly the way we think it should be. It just simply says you sing over us with joy. And so, God, I pray for those here who are suffering with depression and anxiety. Lord, would you lift that heavy weight and that heavy burden? Lord, would you reach down and pull them up out of those waters? God, would you remove the thing that they are carrying that is so suffocating? And Lord, I pray that your freedom would reign in each of these circumstances. God, we bind the power and the authority that the enemy thinks he has over their lives. We bind the father of lies and say, speak no more lies to these people. God, we pray that your truth would penetrate. God, in the power and the authority of your name, we pray that truth would replace the lies that the enemy has planted there. And God, I pray even today, from the moment we close this service, there would be a lifting of that. God, that there would just be that sense of hope and that sense of newness, that something is happening in the spirit realm and there's freedom occurring, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for courage. Lord, I pray that people would have the courage, even when they're tired and weary of the fight, to lift up their shield and say, I'm not taking this anymore, and to combat the enemy's lies. Lord, I pray for courage to reach out when things are tough, Lord God, and to tap somebody in and say, I just need you to pray with me. It's not a good day. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you are a God who heals, and Lord, that you restore, and that you are close to the brokenhearted. We praise you for this in your precious and holy name. Amen.